Hey guys, this is Josh. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Movement Youth. For now, let's head to this week's message at Collective, which is every Wednesday night at 6:45.
How many of y'all would say you had a great day? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you say you have a great day. Okay, so a lot of you in here, okay? Raise your hand if you say you're just still tired and you just want a nap, okay? A lot of you in this room, I get that. All right, my name is Alex Stevenson, and I have been with you guys, with some of you guys, for the past few days, and I'm with Life Action, and this is year number two, and if you have any questions about Life Action or any of that, you can talk to myself about it. God's changed my life through this ministry. He's called me to this ministry, and I don't know why, but I absolutely love what I do, and God's just radically changed my life in so many different ways. And just a little fun fact about myself, I am actually from Orlando, Florida, okay? Give it up, yes! Best state in the country, okay? I love Florida, it's fantastic. Also, a little fun fact about me that you can make fun of me. Raise your hand if you like popcorn. Okay, raise your hand if you love popcorn, okay? Like every person in this room, I have a nasty fear and a nasty hatred of popcorn, okay? Like the smell of it, the look of it, like everything about it, like it just looks gross, okay? It deserves a spot in the garbage, okay? It should not. Someone said amen. That's fantastic, okay? That's the first person that's agreed with me, okay? I don't love popcorn, and you may be asking yourself, Alex, what do you do when you go to movie theaters, okay? I got a strategy, dude. Like, I go to the end of the row, and I'm the guy who's like, yep, you guys can pop the, you can pass the popcorn down the middle, and I'll just be at the end. Don't do popcorn. Don't bring it around me, okay? Pray for me. It's that bad, okay? We're going to get started, and open your Bibles up to Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 45. Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 45. Put some noise, yes! We should get excited. This is God's word, right? And so as our team and our ministry has been with you guys these last few days, we've been talking about this word, revival, okay? And this word, revival, is this process where God is breathing life into our dead bodies. Because the reality is, some of us in this room are walking zombies. We're dead. We have no purpose, we have no passion for the Lord, but we come on Sundays and we come on Wednesdays and we think we're these great Christians. And we think we're followers, but if we really look at our life, we're dead. We have no desire, we have no passion. And this week, we have been trying to transfer Christianity as a hobby into a lifestyle. And we look at the life of Paul and see how this guy was sold out. All that mattered to Paul, the Apostle Paul, was living for Christ. Nothing else mattered. He didn't play the Christian game. He didn't put on the mask as so many of us in this room do. His whole life and his whole being was dedicated to Christ and falling deeper and deeper and deeper in love with him. That's all that mattered to him. And that's all that should matter to us. And so tonight, the topic I want to talk about is something that God is working in me. And I'll tell you, I am not perfect. I am young. I don't deserve to be up here, okay? Like, I don't deserve it. Your staff, your leaders are some of the best leaders I have ever been able to work with. Give those guys a hand for what they do. Like, seriously, they are absolutely fantastic. I don't deserve a spot here. I don't deserve to be speaking to you guys. I am a sinful, broken individual. And so tonight, the topic I want to talk about is that of fear. Everyone say fear. And this is something that I've been dealing in my life, even to this day, is fear. And I think one of the greatest reasons in our generation we experience so much stress and we experience so much anxiety is because we don't know how to handle our fears in life. And I say that from my experience because I'm one of the most anxious, most stressful individuals because I don't know how to handle fear. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 45. If you're there, say you're there. Awesome. And before we dive in, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll jump right in. Dear Father, thank you for every single person in this room. Thank you that you have brought him here and that you've brought him here to draw closer to you. You want to revive their lives. You want to take them, who some of us are living the Christian life as a hobby, and you want to make it a lifestyle. And I pray that we would surrender to you. I pray that you would work in our hearts, that we wouldn't go on autopilot and tune out everything we hear, but we'd realize that these are life principles and these are going to change our lives because you are going to change our lives. Work in our hearts, Father. Change us, mold us, break us into more accurate reflections of who you are. I pray this all in your name, and everyone said, amen. All right, before we dive into this, I want to start out with a little story, okay? And the first thing I want to ask is, I want to ask you guys one question. Who here loves horror movies, something scary, maybe jump scares? Raise your hand, okay? Raise it up high, okay? All of you guys that are raising your hands, y'all are punks, okay? I do not do horror movies, I do not do scary movies, and I don't do jump scares, okay? I'm the guy, when I watch a movie or I watch a jump scare, I'm the guy who watches it, watches the jump scare, and I'm the guy flying on the back of the couch, passed out, peed my pants. Some of y'all think I'm joking. I'm not. I'm literally not joking. Like, that is me, passed out, peed my pants, all right? So about a few months ago, after my first year traveling with Life Action, God radically changed my life. I get to do what I love to do. And towards the end of the travel year, since we don't have much time and we're so busy on the road going from church to church, I decided when I got home for summer break, I was going to make a list of all my favorite movies, okay? I was going to make a list. I was going to go back home, and I was going to watch all my favorite movies, okay? And right at the top of that list, I wrote one of my favorite movies of all time, okay? You can fight me. You can hate me. I don't care, okay? But on the top of that list is The Amazing Spider-Man, okay? What a great movie! What a great movie, okay? And I will safely say, okay, Andrew Garfield is the best Spider-Man. Yes! Tom Holland is not, okay? And if you like Tobey Maguire, you're irrelevant. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, okay? And he's the best Spider-Man, no doubt about it, okay? And I write this movie on the top of my list, and I come back home, and I decide, you know what? I'm going to watch this movie, okay? And I go and watch it with my mom, and my mom can't handle jump scares either, okay? Like, my mom is just like me, or I'm just like my mom. That would be the correct way, right? And so I'm watching this movie, and raise your hand if you've seen it. Raise your hand if you've seen this movie, okay? So, like, a lot of you in this room, okay? And if you know this movie, and if you've seen this movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? You know exactly, okay? And I've seen this movie about 10, 20 times. Like, I love this movie. And I've seen it so many times. But there's this one part that gets me every single time. Okay? And it's the part at the end of the movie where the villain is the lizard, right? And it's Gwen Stacy, and she goes up to the top of Oscorp Tower and hides in a vent. And the lizard is chasing her. And all of a sudden in the movie, all the lights go out, all the sound goes out, and you just hear the lizard and you hear Gwen Stacy breathing. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I've seen this 20 times. I can do this. Like, I can get through this, please. Every single time I pass out, pee my pants. Not this time. Okay? And so I'm sitting there. And with jump scares, I have this strategy. Okay? And this strategy is you take a pillow. Okay? And you guys have your strategy, too, whoever's scared. Okay? You have your strategy. You take a pillow. You cover half your eyes. Half of them. Okay? And then you roll back the rest. Okay? So the person right next to you is like, that person's watching the scary part. And I'm like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm watching the scary part, but I'm actually watching nothing. Okay? That's my strategy. So the whole scene is happening. Got my pillow, half my eyes, rest blurred back, and my mom's just sitting there. She's just chilling. Okay? She is like, this is awesome. Okay? And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm all prepared. I got all the work. I did everything to do it. Fantastic. And right at that moment, boom, flew back to the couch, peed my pants, passed out, done. I'm not even joking. Like, you guys still think I'm joking. I literally passed out, peed my pants. We had to clean up a mess. Not gonna lie. And I can safely say that I am afraid and I am terrified of jump scares. I am terrified. You can pray for me. You can do whatever you want. But I am absolutely terrified of jump scares. I have a fear of scary things. But on a serious note, for all of us in this room, all of you guys, have you ever felt, in a similar sense, have you ever felt an overwhelming sense of fear? Maybe anxiety? Maybe stress because you feel like life has just trapped you with fearful thoughts, fearful moments, and fearful situations? Like maybe some of you right now in this room, especially the older people, are in a season of uncertain transition. Like you don't know where you're going to be in the next 5 years. You don't know what you're going to do. And that just scares you because you want to know. Some of you have the fear that you're still single. And it seems like you will never get in a relationship with anybody. And that just scares you because you don't want to be alone. That's a valid fear. Maybe life has thrown you the fearful reality, and I think this is a huge one in our generation. Maybe life has thrown you the fear that you may never fit in with the people you want to fit in with. And you don't want to be the person on the outside looking in. Has anyone in this room experienced fear similar to this? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you have experienced fear similar to this. Almost all of you in this room have that. And I will tell you, these very things that I just stated are fears that I am dealing with in my head and in my life all the time. So the question I want us to consider tonight as we dive into Scripture is, what do you do when life just seems to imprison you with fear? What do you do when your mind starts to fearfully question your future, your partner, and your image and identity? What do you do when your mind and your life starts to question the things you really have no certain answer for? So if you have your Bibles, look down at verse 45 of Mark chapter 6, and this is where we're going to be. And starting at verse 45, this is what it says. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida. While he himself was sending the crowd away after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Everyone say, pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land, seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against him. So what's happening here, okay, is that Jesus has just miraculously fed 5,000 people. Does anybody remember that story in Scripture? Where he does the miracle and he takes 7 pieces of food and he feeds 5,000 people. He has just performed one of the most amazing miracles right in front of the eyes of his disciples. And now he's telling his disciples to go ahead of him and start sailing to the other side of this river to a place called Capernaum. Everyone say Capernaum. Let me give you a little picture of what's happening here, okay? So what Jesus is saying, we should have a map up here in just a minute. What Jesus is saying is he's telling his disciples to go from this place called Gennesaret and start sailing to this place called Capernaum. They're not really far from each other, so he's telling them, sail across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. So what happens is his disciples begin to sail, and while they're sailing, Jesus decides to watch them from the shore. Does anybody know why? Anybody have a shot why Jesus decides to watch his disciples sail from the shore? What do you think? Exactly. He does this because he sees that his disciples have encountered fear in the middle of the sea. They have encountered this terrifying storm, and to them, this storm is like a hurricane, okay? And let me get this straight. Hurricanes are terrifying, okay? Like, I am terrified of hurricanes. You could die from them. And we live in like the hurricane capital, okay? That is what the disciples think they're going against. Like it is a terrifying, terrifying storm. But the point is, the disciples have encountered this terrifying storm. And they think that they're going to die. So they're experiencing this fear of death. But do you know what's really interesting about this story if you read really, 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 really close? Do you know how the disciples decided to handle their fear? Students, like a lot of us in the room, the disciples tried to row themselves through the storm and from their fear. They tried to overcome their fear themselves. But remember, right before this passage, literally the story right before this one, the disciples had just witnessed one of the most crazy miracles in all of Scripture. They had just seen this man, Jesus, feed 5,000 people with 7 pieces of food. And it happened not even a day earlier. They had just seen him commit this miracle. And even though they had just witnessed this, they decided to row their boat through the storm and take on their fear with their own power, with their own rowing. And students, do you know where their own rowing led them? Do you know where their own power led them? Does anybody know? Into more trouble. It led them nowhere. They couldn't row themselves out of the storm. They couldn't solve their fear themselves because they were trying to figure something out that they weren't supposed to figure out. It's kind of like if you gave me a Rubik's Cube, okay? Raise your hand if you can solve a Rubik's Cube. Okay, a few of you in this room. It's like if you gave me a Rubik's Cube, okay? I can't solve a Rubik's Cube. I'm a dumb person. I can sit there all my life twisting a Rubik's Cube, turning all the squares. You could give it to me for 20 years and I will never solve it. But I can try my hardest and I will never get there. Because a Rubik's Cube was not made for dumb people. It was made for smart ones. It was made for dudes like that guy. Seriously. And the sad reality is that there are a lot of us in this room who are trying to overcome a fear in our minds that we are not supposed to overcome ourselves. Some of you in this room feel stressed. Maybe you're experiencing some anxiety. Maybe you're a little depressed, and if you're honest with yourself, you're just scared because you've been rowing your life. You've been doing life on your own power. You've been trying to conquer fears by yourself, and you're seeing that you're going nowhere. Some of you are sitting here right now, and you're just scared of the future. You're scared of what your future is going to look like. So you've been trying to mentally plan every second of your life. You've been trying to figure out all the details of your future because you want to know what it will look like. You want to be successful. Some of you in here are scared that no one will accept you. You're scared that no one will ever love you. So you've been trying to do your best to do all the right things to find that acceptance and love and to conquer that fear. But honestly, if you're honest with yourself, nothing seems to work. Or maybe some of you are scared of what people think of you. So you've been rowing your life on your own power to make yourself into someone you're not. You've been trying to live behind this mask to overcome your fear, but you know that deep down inside, you can't solve your fear. But tonight, for you who are in this room, who's been trying to row your life, who's been trying to solve your fear, I want to tell you one thing. And the statement I want to give you is you cannot do it. Say it with me. You cannot do it. You're not supposed to do it. Your power, your rowing for your fear is only producing more problems. Because not only is your power and your rowing not taking you anywhere in solving your fear, honestly, it's just creating more fear, it's creating more anxiety, it's creating more stress, and it's creating more depression in your life. That is exactly where the disciples are left. They're more fearful, they're more anxious, they're more stressed because their rowing and their power has done nothing but confirm that they're going to die. They are completely imprisoned by their fear of death, just like some of you in this room are completely imprisoned by your fears in life. But the awesome thing is, there's hope. Everyone say, there's hope. There's hope if Jesus is in the situation. You know what? He's in every situation. But before we get there, before we get to that hope, I want to tell you the rest of this story. So let's continue on. Look down at verse 48, the back half of verse 48, and it says this. At about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Jesus, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them and the wind stopped and they were utterly astonished. So what we see here in the rest of this story is that the disciples are still trying to row themselves out of the storm. They're still trying to row themselves out of their fear on their own power. And so Jesus sees this from the shore, and he decides yet to do another miracle. And he walks on the water towards his struggling disciples. The funny thing is, does anybody know what the disciples thought when he was walking towards them? Anybody know? What did they think? What did they think? They thought he was a ghost. So not only are the disciples scared of this storm that is going to kill them, not only are they terrified of that, that they could possibly die, they're terrified of being possessed by a ghost. Like, who wants to be possessed by a ghost? Raise your hand. Ain't nobody in this room want to be possessed by a ghost. They are utterly terrified. Okay, when I was a little kid, this kind of reminds me of a story when I was a little kid. And this is probably why I'm so scared of jump scares. Okay? This is probably why when I was 3 years old, my dad loved to scare people. Okay? 3 years old, I don't know why my dad loved to scare people. And he had this thing called a scream mask. Does anybody know what that is? A scream mask? It's like a melted face. It's hideous! Okay? And so one day, three-year-old little me, okay, waddling down the stairs, 7 in the morning, okay? I don't know why I got up at 7 in the morning. And I decided to come down the stairs, and my dad always left for work at 7, okay? He always left. He always had to leave early. And so I'm coming down the stairs. I'm going to get my sippy cup or whatever you have as a 3-year-old, and I'm just waddling down, just chilling, taking my time. And all of a sudden, out of the closet comes my dad with a suit, with a scream mask, and an axe. I am terrified. Little 3-year-old me was like, nah, not having any of that, waddling away, okay? 2 miles an hour. Could not do it. I was terrified. And to this day, I remember that story, and that's probably why I'm scared of jump scares, okay? The disciples right here, they're terrified. They're little 3-year-old waddling Alex. They are scared out of their mind. And they are totally imprisoned of their fear of dying, and they're imprisoned of their fear of this ghost, and they can do nothing at all to stop it. But at this moment, at the very moment of the peak of their fear, at the peak of their selfish rowing actions, this ghost on the water calls out to them and says, what? He says, take courage. For it is I. And what does he do next? He gets into their boat And he calms the terrifying storm, and everything is resolved. You see, the disciples were hopeless. They were imprisoned by their fear, and instead of running to Jesus, they ran from Jesus. And if you are totally honest, some of you in this room have been struggling with fear. And you've been trying to row and row and row and do it on your own power and figure everything out. And if that's you, I want to give you one more statement. And this statement, I believe, can solve a lot of the stress, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the depression we have in our generation. And that statement is, take courage. Say that with me. Take courage. Take courage in Jesus. Stop fighting your fear and allow Jesus to fight it for you. Because the problem is not fear itself. Our culture says fear is a problem. The problem is not fear. The problem is how you respond to fear. Jesus didn't have to save his disciples. Jesus could have said, you know what? They disobeyed me. They could have called out to me. They saw me do that miracle earlier. He could have said, I'm just going to let them die. But he decided to save them because he cares about them. And you know what? Jesus cares about every single one of you in this room. And even in the pit of your fears, in the pit of those thoughts that keep you up at night, that you don't know how to deal with, in the pit of those selfish actions where you're trying to figure everything out, Jesus is watching each and every one of you, and he is waiting for you to take courage. Because even when you feel absolutely defeated, when you feel absolutely imprisoned by your greatest fears, Jesus is the one waiting to provide the solution. He is the one waiting to answer your fears, and it may not come in your timing and your desire. Only if you're willing to surrender your rights, to surrender your power, to surrender your fear, and say, God, I'm going to take courage in you. Because in that beautiful picture of surrender, when you say, God, I take courage in you. I don't need to figure everything out. I don't need to have my hands on everything. I don't need to know everything. In that beautiful picture of surrender, you can be so uncertain about your life, but be more certain than ever. You can be dying, but be more alive than ever. You can be hated by everyone, but you can be more loved than ever, all because you've placed your greatest fears, your greatest struggles, in the hands of the one who has promised to overcome each of them. But again, it rests on abandoning your power, yielding your rights, yielding your fears, and saying, God, I'm going to take courage in you. And I will tell you, for me, this statement, this concept, this promise that Jesus has given us has transformed my life. Because I, by nature, am such an anxious person. I stress about so many things. You don't even believe it. And I will tell you, two of my greatest fears, my first fear, like right now, my first fear is I'm going to go off script. I don't like going off script. That's a fear of mine. But one of the greatest fears I deal with every single day is the fear of doing mediocre ministry. I don't want to be bad at ministry. I don't want to be bad at speaking. I don't want to be bad at what I do. That's a fear of mine, that I will never measure up to where I want to measure up. And every single day, my daily routine, when I get up in the morning, when I get into the shower, my daily prayer every single morning is, God, I'm going to be an anxious mess. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to be stressed. I'm going to be out of my mind all day. And God, I take courage in you. I have to tell myself and I have to pray that every single day and rest in the promise that he has everything figured out and I don't. And so tonight, I want us to do two things. And the first, if you have something to write on, pull it out. I want us to evaluate ourselves. Pull out your notebook, pull out your phone, whatever it is you write down on. And the first thing I want you to do and the question I want you to answer is, what do you fear most? Write that down at the top of your page. What do you fear most? What is that thought that keeps you up at night? What is that thing that you don't all have figured out, but you want to? What is the thing that makes you anxious and it makes you stressed? Write down your greatest fear. Be honest. Be transparent. Be open with yourself. And be open with God. And as you're writing down that fear, the second thing I want us to do, and part of what I love about our ministry in Life Action, is we always put what we learn and what we hear, we put it into practice. And so the second question I have is, what are you going to do about it? The minute you leave this building, the minute you go back home, are you going to apply this to your life? And what I want to give us in just a few minutes is a time, just a few minutes, where you can get right with God. Some of you have been rowing and rowing and roaming and trying to figure everything out. And you are anxious and you are stressed and you're all over the place mentally. And tonight, for those who have been rowing, this is the night of surrender. I believe this whole message applies to all of us in this room, because we all deal with fear. And I don't know where you are at with your in your walk, but we can cling to this promise that if we surrender to Jesus, he has everything figured out. So I want to give us a few minutes here, students, where you can do business with God. And if tonight is that night where you say, I'm done, I surrender, I yield my rights, I yield my fears, I want that night to be tonight for you. I want tonight to be the night where all your fears and all your anxieties are lifted because you've trusted Jesus. So what I want to do in these next few moments is I want to give you 2 to 3 minutes where you can just be real with yourself and with God. Or you can look at that fear and say, God, I'm going to submit that to you. I'm going to take courage in you about that. And so I want to give you a few minutes, and I'd encourage you, be honest. Be open. Don't let these things fly through your ears and fly through your minds. These are life-changing principles. These have changed my life. Don't tune these things out. Be intentional. Be real. Do business with God. And if tonight's the night that you're going to surrender, do it. Do it. Because I believe God wants to use you in so many ways. And it starts with surrendering some of our greatest fears in life. So I want to give you a few minutes. Spend time with God. Some of you need to get on your knees. Some of you need to be really intentional. I'm going to give you a few minutes, then I'll come up, and then I'll pray us out, and we'll go on from there.